Thank you, Yorgos. This is punch in the stomach. It's really tough to watch, but as Yorgos said, it's the reality. But more than the reality, it's something very personal to the people who appear in this footage, but also to Yorgos, who has experienced it with them. So thank you very much for letting us in and allowing us to see that. Yorgos mentioned before that all these people are taking a lot of risks to reach safety, to reach Europe. And what we see is what they are met with when they are trying to cross Europe's borders and when they finally managed to reach Europe. We've seen quite a few images of the difficulties and the hardship that this travel means for the people who experience it. We've seen police violence, we've seen torture, we've seen fences, and this is what refugees and migrants who are trying to reach Europe are experiencing, and this is the reality. I would like to emphasize the importance of this work, the work that Yorgos is doing, the photography that he's doing, but also what he shared with us today. Because viewing this, witnessing this through his work, makes us want to do something and makes hopefully people realize that what is happening at the moment in Europe is just not acceptable and it's something that has to change. So hopefully people who are witnessing this work and who are able to and privileged enough to be able to see Yorgos's work will want to do something about the situation. I would like to ask Yorgos a couple of questions to tell us a little bit the story behind some of the scenes that we have seen. Yorgos, would you like to tell us a little bit about the story of the burial that we saw in your video?
I did this video in Lesbos Island a few years ago. A boat 30 meters before the Greek coast crashed in a rock, and people went on the sea, and 10 of them drowned. And I followed them the next days. 10 survivors make the
they buried
their families, and for me it was a very strong moment. How difficult, for example, if you see the young boy, she was crying, she lost his mother and his sister, and is every often we have an accident like this. Yesterday also it was a big accident in Samos Island. As Effie said, 20 people still missing. And probably at the moment, now this time many people try to cross the borders to arrive in Europe. And if they are lucky, if not, just remember if you can remember the last man. And I feel very guilty because he's one of the people that I didn't ask the permission to take his picture. But I think it's so important this moment to share with other people. But I didn't know, I don't know at least his name.
Yorgos, would you be able to maybe tell us a little bit about the ritual that we saw in Patras?
Listen, I try to I visit some unofficial mosque in Greece. We have not an official mosque. You have around 1 million Muslims, and we have not an official mosque. And I visit some unofficial mosque, and also I visit the, how can I say,
rituals or religious rituals.
This religious
ceremony.
They are the guys that are from Afghanistan. They were from Afghanistan. They are Shia. And they did this in the unofficial mosque next to the port of Patras. They do every year. For me, it was a little bit strong. But I published this footage because I want to say these people try to keep the traditional. That's why I published this footage. I worked 7 years on this story, but I feel very, very sad for the picture that I saw last 2 weeks ago in Morocco-Spain borders. First time I didn't, many people, I asked before I go what's the condition, but to see 500 people try to climb to the fence, that's why I lost my word before for the picture, because these people still screaming my. It's very difficult to speak about this, but the moment there, especially in Melilla, situations are out of control. They ask a guy from Cameroon, "What are you doing here? Tell me, what's your experience before the jump?" Or I will jump or I will die here. To jump this fence is 7-8 meters, like this, with separatins, like big knife. And believe me, you cannot imagine if they arrive in Spain, you cannot imagine how they arrive. Serious injured. And too much violence. I heard they shoot them. My friend Pierre, another photographer, said, "Yorgo, maybe they are killing them. They kill them. They are screaming, 500 people. And every night, this condition."
I would like to check if people from the audience would like to ask Yorgo's a question or share something, some thoughts or feelings.
No, I'm just going to ask a question because I don't want to go emotional. I've seen some pictures that it looks like you were on the Coast Guard boat. So could you please tell us about this? How did you manage to get on the boat?
Yes, I followed the Greek Coast Guard 3 years ago. It was an official permission. I follow many times. If you remember that you saw a boat was burning, it was because this boat tried to escape from the Coast Guard, and they shot them to stop them. And it was crazy moment. It was like conflict. It was like war zone. Of course, arrest 2 traffickers and 16 migrants. The problem is they did this with a journalist in the boat, and they give them very, very hard time. Can you imagine what they are doing when they are alone? I speak about pushbacks. I never see, but many people told me that they try 3-4 times. And if you see from Greece to the Turkish side, or from the Turkish side to Greece, say, it's very close. Even we can swim also. But if you go on the water, and if you, for the first time, see water, sea, in your life, like people from Afghanistan, it's very difficult to arrive to the other side. That's why we have many accidents. Also, because most of these people, they don't know how to use this boat, to drive this boat. But they are doing, I estimate that they do this because they don't pay the ticket of this trip. But sometimes they pay the ticket with their lives. Yes, I saw many times when I was with the Coast Guard, when I was following them, I saw seven different cases. They use the same practice. They try to trap them. One time I was in the middle of the deal with the Uber League, with the Turkish Coast Guard. They say, no, take them, no, keep them, no, take them back, no, but we have a deal, no, take them. Finally, they took them to the Greek side. I want to say it's a very good game, and these people are the players.
Georgios, first of all, I would like to say you thank you, Evharisto, because we can, with this film, we can feel, well, not feel what they feel, but slight of it. And I can't imagine how difficult your job is. And have you been threatened, or have the police tried to prevent you from filming all these images?
In my country, I'm in blacklist.
Yes.
In Turkey, two years ago, Turkish government put me, what is the security for national enemy, and they deport me. In Bulgaria, not yet, in the Balkans, but it's coming soon. Listen, I published during our last camp, last year in Lesbos, I decided to publish two moments when the Coast Guard arrested the trafficker, because it was a trafficker, and the other say, don't make a move, I kill you, because the migrants try to destroy the boat. And after this, the Greek authorities invite me to report. They wanted to put me in this game, but I say, guys, I'm a journalist. I was there with official permission, and they started to press me, and last week also they pressed me. And I say, guys, just it's time to speak with my lawyer. And of course, I'll give you an example. It was last year. I have a good assignment as a freelance photographer. I need to work to survive, to continue to do what I decided to do. It was a big assignment for me for CNN, and we went to cover the fence between Turkey and Greece, and everyone was happy. The permission was good, but last minute say, okay, dear CNN team, you are welcome, except Yorgos Moutafis. I mean, I cannot work more with them. That's why I work like this. I try to work unofficial. As a photographer, the risk is too big, not to arrest me or just my equipment, because this camera is all my life. I have not something. Some other friends bought a car or a motorbike. I bought camera. This is what I have. And but this is the only way to take this risk. To publish the story of these people. And I'm not doing something special. Okay, maybe you can say you are a little bit crazy. I don't know why I do this, but Can you? And I decide to do this. Eh? These people didn't decide to put themselves in this condition.
Okay. My name is Musa Abdullahi. I'm from the Central African Republic, and I'm a refugee in Israel. I would like to thank you very much for bringing this, for like giving voice to the voiceless. I think you did an amazing job, but my very simple question is it possible to get this video? If yes, where and how? And we can share it to other people, because I ask because in the beginning you asked not to film it, but I think if I go back, I would like to talk about this, but I cannot remember everything. So I would like to ask if there is a possibility to get the video. And if not, so why not? Thank you.
I will put online this video in the next coming months, because I'm still working on this video to put some statistics and some, and to make them a little bit more professional. But at the moment it's not available for publication, but will be very, very soon. And I will post, of course, in Amnesty's social media. But at the moment it's not ready. And to be honest, I say, Yorgos, it's time to make this short film. My goal is to make an 8-minute film. I say, but I'm always accident in Lampedusa. Oh, let's go in Lampedusa. Open new gate in Balkans. Let's go to work a little bit in Balkans. And I think, but now it's time to, I have a lot of footage. It's time to close this story, and very soon will be available and you can find online.
Hi, I'm Zoe from the UK. I just want to firstly just say I just think what you've done is amazing, and that you're incredibly brave. But the question that I wanted to ask you is, obviously you've covered so many kind of amazing stories and places, but is there any place or any story that you haven't had the opportunity to cover but wish that you had? Always the case.
Listen, I don't know. If you ask me, okay, of course now I'm here, but if you ask me in my daily life what you will do tomorrow morning, or I don't know, I'm ready. I travel a lot. I have this fucking passport with me and few money, and I cannot make any program to, and I don't know, just follow the news. And I don't know, I have some places that I want to visit, like Calais in France to UK, or Malta, but it's not in my coming plans. Now I am under of shock that with what I saw in Melilla in Spain. It's crazy. Yes, I want to go back and to go to work a little bit to Gourougou Mountain, the mountain in Morocco before the people crossed to Melilla. Very unhuman condition. But I don't know, and I don't like to make plans to say, okay, next week I will go there, because I cannot do this. This is my style of my job, and but I like to, but it's not a good idea, but I know how these people start and why these people started this trip. And I wanted to go to see, for example, I've never been in Afghanistan or in Mali. I wanted to, I want to go there to see the condition. Few days, all the from at the beginning of May, and for 1 month, we follow 5 Syrians from. It was an assignment for a German newspaper. We'll publish soon. From Greece, we follow them until Austria. We cross 5 countries, and every time I see new things, new practice with new practice for how the smuggler try to make them to cross the border. And I don't know. Maybe I didn't give you any answer, but actually I don't like to make plans. For example, if I was in Athens yesterday in Greece, of course with the first plane I was in Samos to see the situation about this accident. 100% I will try to be there if I was in Greece.
I am Hussein Majid. I am a Nigerian, but I stay in Italy. Actually, at first, I would like to thank you a lot for trying to show this to other people that I think probably they are not aware of what is going on. And I was once a part of this, yeah. To say the reality, this is something that is extraordinarily dangerous. Yeah, more than the way we think, more than the way we imagine. And it's not that we normally used to take this kind of a risk to come to Europe, to rob, or to do some kind of stupid things, or to be judged. Nah. Actually, what I would like you people to understand is this. If really a human being will risk his life just to take this kind of a journey, then you have to think, oh, what makes him do that? Then definitely it's something so dangerous. Maybe he is running just to survive, just to have a good life, just because he thinks he is human. And there is life in him, and he wants to live. He wants to die in a good way. He doesn't want to be killed. He doesn't want to be slaughtered or being burned alive. So normally we took these risks, not because we wanted to, not because there is something of fun, not because we are idiots or illiterate, not because maybe we don't know the difference between our right or left. No, that's not the reality. Yeah. Maybe we are here in search of a peace or what we call freedom, what we call human rights. But instead, here in Europe, the Europeans judge us after all the travel, after all the risks. In this travel, you don't know if you will be alive or not. But to us, it doesn't matter if we will be alive or not. What matters is just that we want to die handsome. We don't want to die with blood in our face. This is why we normally used to take this journey. So believe me, I really appreciate what you just did. And I know for you it's so much, it's heavy for you to witness this kind of a thing. Also to us, every day it appears to us like a nightmare. Yeah, it's a past. Yeah, I was once part of it. But believe me, every single second I live with this thing because it's something terrible, something, I don't know how to explain it because although such is life, we all fight to survive, to live peacefully. We fight for a brighter future. To me, yeah, I am happy to be part of this. Why? Not because maybe I am thinking to maybe put myself in a perfect position. No, I am not thinking to myself. I am thinking of the other people that will encounter the same thing, take the same risks, and later on they will be judged by the Europeans. So I don't want them to be in the same situation. I don't want them to witness the same thing. I took these risks, and when I arrived in Lampedusa, believe me, I was being treated just like an animal, with the anger in me, with the nightmares. You understand me, with all the risk. But instead, the treatment was like, you know, I can't cry, I can't shout, I can't do anything. So I hope that this is just a beginning of something, a beginning of some changes. Not just that we sit over here and watch this video, we feel moved, some of us feel to cry. Nah. This video is something, it's just a message to us and also to the next generation and also to the people that normally used to judge us because we are here in Europe. In reality, we are not here to rob anybody. There is nothing that we can take from Europe. Maybe we left our country because of one or two problems that we didn't make the mistake, but we are still paying the price. This is the reality. We are paying the price of what we didn't do. Yeah. Every single minute, a lot of people are becoming refugees. Every single minute, more than 1,000 people are becoming refugees. Men, women, and also little children. But we need to ask ourselves, why? Why? If we think we have to fight for the human right, then definitely we have to fight for the causes. I mean, what makes people to be refugees? Because those people, they are not refugees because they want to be a refugee. They are not refugees because they think it's a new identity or is a nice identity. No. That's not reality. In fact, anytime I listen to the word refugee, I used to feel a kind of, you know, like someone is putting a rock on my head because the word is so heavy. Yeah, sometimes you might see us smiling, laughing, maybe like having fun. But in reality, there is a pain deep inside us. You know, when you lose your identity, you know, you lose your hope, your dreams, you know, you left them behind you, you know, taking a risk without deciding. You know how it is? Lose your family, lose everything. You are in a new world that you are all alone. This is, you are all alone. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And still, people are judging you. Come on. Something needs to be done. It's not that we will watch this video and go home or sleep or maybe after 2-3 days, you know, wipe it away. No. We need to do something. I know it's something that it's going to be difficult, but we need to stand and do it. Not for ourselves, no, but for the new generation. Yeah. Prevention is better than cure. This is the reality. Thank you very much, okay?
Ганчо Соколов, журналист, София Прес. Имам един въпрос. Според вас, помагат ли тайните служби в държавите на бежанците или повече пречат? И според вас, в Гърция има ли емиграция, има ли дискриминация към бежанците?
So this is Ganchu Sukov, a journalist in Sofia Press, and he wants to know if the secret police helps the refugee or is against the refugees, and he also asks if in Greece there is a discrimination towards refugees.
Like Bulgaria, in Greece, racism and xenophobia rising up. We have many cases that policemen are voters of this neo-Nazi group called Golden Dawn, and arrested, many of them arrested by other police. And
there is definitely discrimination.
But the big problem for me is in the Balkans, like in Serbia, Bulgaria, Greece, is the racism.
Yeah. I want to ask you something, but first I want to thank you. This video makes me cry, but not for me, not for the other person who passed. This video makes me cry because I think the future. How many person want to die? How many person want to continue to die every day? Because they need peace. They go to other side to need a new experience. New experience on the life. I think every day, I write every day, when I go back home, I don't think about myself, I pass him. I thank my God. But if you see somebody, anything inside the boat, to travel to come to Europe, he have courage, but it's not God, because he need to go. Maybe he go because his country has problem. Maybe he go because they're forcing him to go. I'm sorry. I repeat, I cry. This video make me cry. You have courage to do it. But I don't think about myself. I think about the future. How many person want to die every day? How you want to do? Why this person want to die every day? The risk... them lie, they risk everybody to come here to Europa. I need the voice and violence to help them to everybody want to die every day. We need to finish, please. Thank you very much.
I think that's why we are here. Eh?
Yeah.
This is the message that we must send them after this camp. I will keep your word that, of course, we are doing for the people who, for the next generation, but maybe next generation is too far for the people who will try tonight to cross the borders. That's why we are here. Why we are here.
So thank you very much to everyone who participated in this discussion and who shared. And definitely, once again, thank you to Yorgos for sharing this and for letting us in, and who explained to us now what we're going to see at the exhibition.
Don't say this photographer was crying, eh? Don't say
Thank you, Yorgos. Thank you, Fotis. We have reached the end of this official part. I just have really need to tell you several things. First of all, outside there is a document called Leave Your Thoughts Behind, which is a space where you can share your feelings, your emotions from what you've just seen or the exhibitions you're about to see. So please, write down if you feel so, please do. Second of all, if you haven't done so already, there is the petition who is asking the EU leaders to protect the lives and rights of refugees in Europe. It is just outside this room, you'll find it, and please sign. And several more announcements, which are for people who are not part of the camp, but I see some faces here. First of all, please do come to our next event, which is going to be on Wednesday, and this is the Human Rights Picnic, which is going to happen at the Monument of the Soviet Army. We'll have, again, stories, images, delicious food, and great music, so you shouldn't miss it. And we have the big action on Friday, which is still a big secret, but please follow the When You Don't Exist, the SOS Europe Facebook page, and also the Bulgarian Helsinki Committee Facebook page. We'll be updating with info very soon. What else? I really want to thank our hosts, the Red House. They are not only hosts of this evening, but they're official partners of the camp. And everyone who is part of the camp will be returning here on Wednesday morning to have some workshops here. The picnic is going to be, thank you very much, very good point, 4 o'clock, the Monument of the Soviet Army. What else? Here with us, we have several of the refugees who agreed to be photographed in Veselina's exhibition. So thank you so much for participating in the project and for being here with us. You can all meet them afterwards. I want to thank the volunteers which are translating in Bulgarian and in Arabic during this evening. I want to thank everyone who spoke, and I think that they really deserve a big round of applause, so please. And finally, I think that the biggest round of applause should go to every one of you who are part of this human rights camp, who all came here to Bulgaria to support this amazingly worthy cause. So yes, a big applause to you too.
And thank you to Jana for chairing this event.
And because we tried to build this as an experience for all of you, please try to follow my directions now. When you go out of this door, just immediately turn left down the stairs, and there Yorgos's exhibition starts, and his exhibition takes the whole ground floor. So please take the time to see it first, and then go outside in the garden from there, where you see Veselina's exhibition, and there we also have some wine and some small bites, and there we can all talk about what we've just experienced together. Thank you all.